Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. We started this series last Sunday night, and we're going to continue to go through this as the weeks progress. And looking forward to the things that God has in store for us. And I do have to make a confession before you tonight. As I was studying this these last couple weeks, going through this, I began to go over this once again last night, and some things really began to stir in my own heart, and I had to put the Bible down, I had to put the laptop down, and just stop typing for a second and just ask God to forgive me my sins, because His Word was just really speaking to me last night. And I tell you what, God's Word does that when you're willing to let it, and the Word lets you see you exactly who you are. And I saw that last night with myself, and I'm thankful tonight that I'm able to serve a God who forgives me of my sins, amen, who looks beyond my faults and sees me as a saint in Him, and I'm thankful for that. But anyway, tonight we're going to go through some things that are going to be quite revealing to us on who we are. And I hope that you will begin to really, as I said a few weeks ago, take those surgical tools that God has given us and begin to examine your own life. I remember, and I say this for a reason, because I remember as a young person and as a young adult sitting in this church, I remember our pastor getting up here and preaching some hard, fire-nosed sermons. And I would sit there and say, I wish so-and-so was here. And all along the way, I was missing out for myself. And so I say that for a reason. Ask God to work in your heart. Amen. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about the people behind you or in front of you. Worry about yourself, because you're accountable for yourself at the end of the day. And we're going to see some things tonight that's going to be revealing to a lot of us, and we're going to see how we truly are. Let's begin to have a word of prayer, then I will go through this real quick. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening that You have given us. Lord, let us do what the song just said a little bit while ago, Lord. Help us to stand still. Lord, we know that You want to work in our life. We know that You want to move. But Lord, we have become so guilty of this very thing in our lives where we're constantly making ourselves busy to where we don't even have that chance to even hear that very still, small voice. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that You would help us to really pay attention to the things that You would want us to have us to learn tonight, Lord. I pray that You would just work in our lives. Lord, thank You for already revealing to me my shortcomings and where I have failed You. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to do so even tonight, Lord, as I go through this once again. And so, Lord, tonight, I just pray that You just work and bless. And everything that's said and done, we thank You, we praise You in Your name. Amen. So in chapter number 1 of verse number 18, we'll read down to verse number 32. But let me back up to verse 16 real quick before I leave, because, not before I leave, before we get going on here, you're all probably thinking, yeah, let's leave right now. There's ice cream across the way. But anyway, we left off last week in verse number 16 and verse number 17, and I really didn't dwell on it that much, and I really wanted to. But Paul ended this part. This is really his introduction to this gospel here. And he goes on, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith." And so now we have finished this introduction of going from this chapter. Now we're going to go on to verse number 18, and we're going to see some things that hopefully it's going to stir your heart here tonight. Verse number 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What we see here is the wrath of God is going to be revealed on an unrighteous nation. And we see this that has been taking place here. And I tell you what, I don't want to experience the wrath of God. Amen? We have seen his wrath in the Old Testament. We have seen how he has worked. We have seen those things come to take place. And God will still do those things to this very day. We see here this world that is being talked about here in the book of Romans here with Paul is the world is guilty. And because the world is guilty, you and I will experience the wrath of God, his holy wrath. And this is what we're going to deal with these first couple of verses. We must understand, why does God want to reveal his wrath? Well, we must understand this. And I said this morning, giving a kind of a prelude to what was going to go into tonight. We must understand, because God's wrath is going to be revealed, there's one reason behind it. And that is because God does not tolerate sin. Do you realize that tonight? God does not tolerate sin. Lindsay, God doesn't tolerate my sin. Matter of fact, he hates it. He doesn't like it. It makes him sick. And you might sit there and say, well, Chad, Uncle Chad, or whatever you want to call me, it doesn't matter. You might sit there and say, well, Chad, you don't really sin that much. And I might have said, I agree with you, I really don't. But the fact of the matter is, and we all know that's a bold lie, okay, because I just sinned right there. Well, we all know that it doesn't matter what type of sin you do, God hates it. See, we put sin in categories. We might sit there and think to ourselves, well, I didn't kill anybody today, so I'm good. No, but you still committed a sin today. And that sin is going to have an effect on your life throughout your whole entire life. And it's going to haunt you. And you might think that you might be getting away with it at that point in time. But you will experience the wrath of God upon your life. If you're a child of God tonight, what's God going to do with his children? Well, I can tell you what I do when my daughter gets in trouble. I chasten her. Well, what do you mean you chasten her? Well, I punish her. That's what needs to take place in her life. Why? Because I don't want her to go down that life of sin. I don't want her to live that life of regret that many of us face in our lives today. Because let's be honest with ourselves. We sit there and we look at our lives. We sit there and say, man, I wish I would have listened. I wish I wouldn't have went down that road that I should not have gone down. I got to excuse myself. I got something in my throat and I got to take a big drink here. Otherwise, you guys are going to sit there and think that I have a speech problem, which, by the way, I do. Oh, that is good. So anyway, we put sin in the categories, but God doesn't put sin in the categories. A sin is a sin. God doesn't tolerate any sin. Any other thinking is foolish. And we put those things in the category, and so he doesn't tolerate sin. And he hates sin. He hated sin in the Old Testament, and he hates sin in the New Testament. And the thing that I understand about this, God hasn't changed his stance on sin. It hasn't changed since the day of creation. It's not going to change now because he hates sin and he doesn't tolerate it. And because of those things, he's going to reveal his wrath. His wrath, folks, is going to be revealed on nations across the world. You better believe it. So when it comes to this sin, one thing that I'm going to show you that I want to urge you to see tonight, and we must use caution in this area, because one of the things that I have noticed in my own life when it comes to sin, I begin to justify why I did what I did. Well, I did it for this very reason. Well, we need to understand something. Because God hates sin, we need to stop justifying our sin. Amen? That's what we do. Well, I did it for this reason, and because of this, it was okay. No, it's not. God hates sin, and so because God hates the sin, we should hate the sin as well. When we sin, it is a show of evilness in our life. It is a show of an outright rebellion in our life, and it shows that we are ungodly at that point in time in our life. And so therefore, we need to understand that living a godly life is important in our life. There are a couple things that will be experienced by believers. It goes here in verse number 18. It says, for the wrath of God, not by believers, is going to be experienced by sinners. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. His wrath will be revealed against, let me back up here. I got ahead of my notes. A sinner will experience two things by God. One, he will either experience God's righteousness, or two, he will experience his wrath. And I tell you what, I'd rather be on the righteous side, amen? I don't want to be on that side where it's talking about the wrath here and God's judgment that's coming upon the world. I don't want to put myself in that situation. So a sinner will experience one of these two things. His wrath will be revealed against two things here. It says here in verse number 18, it'll be revealed against the ungodly. The ungodly are those who are against God. I don't know if you realize this, but we live in an ungodly world today. We live in a world that has no respect for God, who has, well, let's put it this way. They might not even have any inclination who God is. And we begin to support some areas in our lives when it comes to, let's put it this way, Hollywood. I got to throw it out there because they are very ungodly and they reject God as well. So his wrath will be revealed against the ungodly in their lives. And secondly, his wrath will be revealed against the unrighteous, man sinning against man. And so we see these things begin to take place. In verse number 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, for the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So we see his power being revealed through creation. Go back to the book of Psalms, if you would, please. Psalms chapter number 19. And I'm just going to read a verse here because I believe this verse is important for us to catch here tonight. Even the psalmist put it in here in the Word. Psalms chapter number 19, talking about the creation, what we just learned about here. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And so as we go back to the book of Romans here, we see that the power of God is revealed even through his creation. Now we go back, and we're going to go through verses 21 through 23 here very quickly. Let's go on here because there are some things that we need to see here in these next three verses that really hit home with me last night as I began to write these notes down and put them in my thought process. Verse number 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Think about that, folks. We know who God is, but do we glorify him as God? I'm serious. We need to think about this concept here because they knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. And so when it comes to knowing God, we need to glorify him as God as well. And it goes on here in verse number 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Here's the second thing that begins to take place. Neither were thankful. Man today is unthankful towards God. And that's just the way it is. We go through our lives being unthankful for the things that he has done in our life. We're not aware of the things that he has saved us from. We're not aware of the things that he has put his hand of mercy and grace upon our life. And I tell you what, we need to wake up every single day and begin to thank God for the mercy and for his grace that he bestows upon our life every single day. We need to take time to do those things. We need to be thankful for a God who intervenes on our behalf. We need to thank God for wanting to not only hear our prayers, but to answer our prayers as well. And we can even look at Scripture where we see many times where there are people that were healed. We looked at the 10 lepers. We didn't look at them tonight, but you can read the story about the 10 lepers. They were healed of their leprosy, and only one of them returned thanks to God. And I tell you what, when God begins to do a work in your life and begins to heal you from things that you have sought healing from. When God begins to work in your life financially, you might be hurting financially somewhere, and you might not have enough money to pay the bills. You might not have enough money to put gas in the car. Those things happen. And God sees you through those times. God delivers you through those times. And He somehow, He provides a way. We heard of the story this morning about Gertrude and how she never owned a car in her life, but yet she got to every place that she needed to get to. Why did that take place in her life? Because she served a God who supplied all of her needs. And she was a woman who was very grateful for the very things that God did in her life. And she showed that in her life every single day. So much so, she was the example that a lot of people looked towards during her time while she was here on earth. And I'm thankful for people that recognize that God is the God of their life. Not only did she know who God was, but she glorified Him as God. And now we see that even in this time where Paul's talking about, they weren't thankful. They weren't thankful for the things that God did towards them. I tell you what, every time God works and moves on your behalf, don't let it go without taking some time to thank Him. Because what's going to happen the next time a situation comes around? You forgot to thank God for the time that He delivered you from, and so the next time something comes around, what are you going to do? Well, let's be honest with ourselves. We treat God as if He's a Santa Claus, do we not? We come to Him when we are in a time of need. And we shouldn't treat God in that kind of disrespect. We need to treat God for who He is. And be thankful for the things that He delivers us from. And thankful for the things that He delivers us to at the same time. And so be thankful for those things. And then go on, we'll read verse number 21 again. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. So we have some things taking place here. And so becoming vain in their imagination, here's what took place in their life. They sought after a pagan lifestyle. This is a lifestyle that they wanted to have in their life. Now we go on. And by the way, that's not a lifestyle that a believer should have. A pagan style life is something that we should not desire. It is something that we should avoid at any cost and steer away from and seek God's help in those areas. Because let me say this, because Satan wants you to live a pagan lifestyle. Satan doesn't want you to have a walk with him, with God. Satan doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. And he's going to do everything that he can within his might, within his power, to get you from living a holy and just life. And so we need to rebuke those things, rebuke those vain imaginations that come about our way. And it goes on and finishes this verse. It says, and their foolish heart was darkened. Boy, what a scary place for these folks to be in. Now we go on in verse number 22. It says, professing themselves to be wise. Here's the sad part about this is that verse isn't finished. Because at the end of this verse, it says, they became fools. See, there's a lot of folks, and there's a scripture it's at the top of my head, and I can't think of where it's at right now, where men were seeking worldly wisdom instead of seeking spiritual wisdom. And so they would begin to profess themselves to be wise, but actually they became fools. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, just a few pages ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll read a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verses 19 through verse number 20. Because here's what this says about the wisdom of this world. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. I tell you what, we ought to be so caught up in being so wise when it comes to the things of this world, but we ought to be caught up when it comes to meaning to being spiritually wise. That's what we need to be concerned with, because if we're setting our minds to where we can become so one of the wisest person that has ever lived this earth, well, that's not going to happen in my lifetime with me anyway. But anyway, we shouldn't be seeking those type of things. The best thing that any individual can do is to seek spiritual wisdom. And I tell you what, there's some things that's happening in our world, and some of us don't even have a clue why it's happening. And the reason why it's happening, just to let some folks in on this, is it's a sin of man. And a lot of us might not know these things because we are seeking the world's wisdom. And we need to seek godly wisdom in our lives. And that's just a fact of the matter. Go ahead and turn back to your Bibles to the book of Romans once again. Book of Romans is back in the same verse here. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse number 23 is, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They changed the image of God like that to a corruptible man. I will say this, God is far greater than man. Amen? And what a great error and foolish way of thinking when we try to begin to change the deity of who God is. And what a grave situation folks put themselves into when they begin to change these very things. One of the things that I'm going to urge you to have some caution in your life, if I may. So often people worship. They worship the cross. And I know that we have songs that's about the cross. I understand those things. But folks, it's all about God. It's not about the cross. Yes, he laid his life on the line for us on the cross. I get that. I understand that. And I have great respect for that. But it's all about Jesus Christ. And don't turn Jesus Christ into an image. Don't turn him into that of a corruptible man. Now we're going to go on and look at these last few verses. But man is so wicked and corrupt for this very reason. They refuse to see God for who he truly is. Do you think that as we finished up our lesson this morning in the book of 1 Samuel, do you think Saul would have had a different outcome in his life if he would have saw God for who he was? But see, Saul couldn't see God for who he was because Saul was so consumed with himself. Saul is really, when you begin to think about this, we can really see Saul in this story here and really examine this with him being a big part of this in a way. But now we're going to go on, we're going to finish these verses here from verses 24 through 32. And I call this the last part, God's just washing his hands of this wickedness here. There are some things here that we're going to see here that kind of really scared me last night, to be honest with you. Verse number 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up. Now think about this. This lifestyle that they are living, now we've talked about it, we read about it a little bit, and now we're coming to a part in our sermon here tonight where we're going to see God giving them up. What a serious situation for these folks to be in tonight. It says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. So we see here in these first couple of verses, the latter part of Romans here, God's washing his hands of this very thing. And we see something take place in Scripture that ought to alarm us here tonight, because we see God giving man up. What's he give man up to? Well, he gives him up to uncleanness. I told you this morning that there will come a time in your life and in my life where if we continue to reject the call of God, if we continue to reject God, God's going to shut the doors on us. That's just the fact of the matter. And so here we see with this lifestyle that's beginning to take place here where Paul is talking about here, there is a lifestyle that's going to be taking place here and God's going to give these men up. I tell you what, that is a sad place for anybody to be in because that's the last place you want to be. You don't want God to turn your back on you. You don't want that in your life. And so we always see here God gives them up to uncleanliness here. He gives them up means he has handed them over. He's done with them. And he's done dealing with them. Again, what a sad situation for them to be in. God gives us, think about this, God gives us chance after chance in our lives, does he not? Just like you and I, if we're parenting here tonight, we give our kids chance after chance to try to prove themselves, to try to make better decisions and things of that nature. But eventually, here's what happens. God giving us chance after chance, eventually his mercy, his grace will run out on those on who reject them. And I tell you what, that will not only happen with the ungodly of this world, but that will happen with believers who reject to live the lifestyle that they should be living for Jesus Christ. that will happen to them as well. And that is, again, a very scary situation for anybody to be in. And so we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where God's going to give us up. We don't want to put ourselves into a situation where God's going to hand us over and wash our hands of us. And we don't want to put ourselves where after time, he closes that door of grace and he closes that door of mercy upon us because of our ignorance on our behalf of rejecting him. Tell you what, when it comes to serving God, folks, it is a serious business. It is something that we ought to take with great seriousness in our life. And, you know, we come to church, our thought process might be, well, I've heard it all. I wonder what pastor's going to scream at us tonight. I wonder what they're going to yell at us for tonight. I wonder how they're going to judge us tonight. I tell you what, it's not about that. It's really about examining your life to make your life better for Jesus Christ, because your life is worth something, and you should have that desire to serve Christ with your full heart. Amen? That should be everybody's desire here tonight. And so then we go on, and we see here in verse number 25. Again, this verse here really grabbed my heart last night. I read it throughout the week, but this week, last night, just really hit me here. Verse number 25, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Basically, to sum this verse up, they turned from God and turned themselves over to Satan. That's what's taking place in this scripture right here. And I tell you what, there are folks who flirt around with turning their lives over to Satan. And I'm talking about believers. They flirt with that. They're on the fence line. And they're flirting with danger, because it just takes one stupid choice from you to walk away to God and to hand yourself into the hands of Satan. And you know, I say, well, Chad, that's being kind of cruel. You know, sometimes you just need to be kind of blunt and right to the point. And that's what needs to take place in our lives. We need to understand that serving God is not something that we do when it's convenient for us. Well, I'll today because I'm going to put him in my life for the next 20 minutes. So it's convenient for me. I don't have nothing going on, and it works for me. It's not about convenience, folks. Sometimes serving God is when it's not convenient. And that's the truth and the fact of the matter. Sometimes you're going to be, God's going to wake you out of a deep sleep at night. And he's going to put somebody in your heart and on your mind to pray for them. What are you going to do? Go back to sleep or do what God's prompted you to do? See, sometimes it's inconvenience. But we need to take the fact of serving God seriously here. We don't need to change the truth of God into a lie. That's not what it's about. The Word of God is truth, amen? And there's no reason for us to distort the truth of God. And there's no reason for us to worship the creature more than Creator. Our thought process tonight ought to be on serving God, again, with our full heart, soul, and mind. The question is, are you willing to give him your full heart, soul, and mind? Well, we put our faith in God for our salvation. God saves us from hell to heaven. But when it comes to that, we're kind of scared of those things. And we doubt God. Well, I don't really want God to work on my behalf. I just want him to save my soul. Again, it's about serving him with your full heart. And so we see here, he changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, verse number 26. It says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." And so they have allowed themselves to really explain this verse here. They have allowed themselves to become perverted with the pleasures and, let's say it this way, the passions of this world that the world is offering to them. And so God is giving them up to really an ungodly lifestyle here. We'll go on in verse number 27. Says, "And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their which was met." Verse number 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." So God gave them to a reprobate mind, meaning man can be delivered from their sin if they are willing to seek forgiveness from God. There is a way out, amen? God does give us an exit that we can see, and that's on the wall. All we have to do is call upon him and seek his forgiveness. Man knows, this is a sad thing, man knows of the judgment of God. But regardless, they continue to laugh in his face and they continue to go down a road living a very disgraceful life. That's what man continues to do. And folks, I'm gonna caution you tonight. It's just not the unsaved that's doing this. It is the saved that's doing this. And that's the fact of the matter. Just because you're saved here tonight doesn't excuse you from this unless you're living that godly lifestyle. Again, I have seen folks come to church, serve God with a full heart, soul, and mind, and the next thing I know, they're gone. They're no longer serving God. What happened? They fell into that trap. They fell in that web of deceit. They fell in that lifestyle. And now they're laughing and mocking God right to his face. And what a shame. Think about this. Think about the testimony that they're having upon their families. I remember Mom and Dad used to go to church. They're there every single Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. Then all of a sudden, I remember some person coming in their life, and they invited them to a party. They said no. Then they invited them to another party the next week. They said no. Then the next week, they were invited back to another party, and what happened? They finally gave in. And from that day forward, my parents' life has been changed. And they begin to ruin their own testimony, not with just themselves, but with their family. Think about this, not only with their family, but they begin to ruin their testimony with the ones that they profess to have told them that they trust and believe in Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what a scary situation. Man knows of the judgment of God, but they continue to laugh and mock him right to his face. Again, folks, as we read here in Scripture, God can only tolerate sin for so long. God's only going to tolerate the sin in your life for so long. It's only for a season. How long is that season? I don't know. I know when I was growing up, when I got in trouble, it was almost instantaneously for me to get a whooping or to be grounded. Sometimes that season only lasted, boys, you're going to get it when your dad gets home. And that season ended when he walked in the door and the belt or the board was used on our back end. But I tell you what, that happened for a reason. One, because mom didn't tolerate the rebellious lifestyle that their kids are living, and she wanted to correct it, and he came in and he corrected it. Well, it's the same way with our father, amen? He doesn't like the lifestyles that we're living. Well, Brother Chad, you don't know my lifestyle. You know, I don't have to know your lifestyle. God does. You're not hiding nothing from me. There's nothing new under the sun with me. You think you might be getting away with it, but God sees everything that we do. Well, that scares me when you begin to think about that. God sees everything that we do. He knows our thoughts. He knows the amount of hairs everybody has upon their head. He knows everything about our body that we have here tonight. Again, our body is fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows every single thing there is to know about us. I'm watching a series here. It's called First in Human. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It's on the Discovery Channel. And what's taking place on this particular deal is it's talking about people who have gone beyond the help of actual help from the medical field. And so they really become guinea pigs for this research hospital. I don't know where it's at, but it's called Building 10. It was it came about through the Truman years. And so this particular hospital devotes all their time and research trying to help out every individual that comes through the door that's beyond hope from all the other medical doctors in the world. I tell you, I'm watching this, and I begin to get drawn into this. I'm seeing the emotions of these people going through all these up and downs, and it just reminded me of what we have gone through. But there's this one particular girl in there. She's 7 years old, and she's got something that's called Job's disease. I never heard of Job's disease until I started watching this show. And what Job's disease is all about is their immune system is not working properly. Matter of fact, they really don't have an immune system. And so therefore, they're susceptible to getting every disease that comes their way. And when they get the disease, they can't fight it off. And so God has made our body, and he knows everything about us. And so a few years ago, they came up with this thing called DNA. We're all familiar with that. And the DNA of our body is all made up of letters. And it's so unique. As a matter of fact, they said that all the DNA in your body, from the time it starts to the time it's finished, in your body alone, will go from the bottom of the Washington Monument all the way to the top. That's how much information is in our DNA about our human body. So anyway, getting back to this little girl about the Jove's disease that she has, and as they begin to research her DNA, they found out that in the process, one letter was out of sync. The letter T that they described had fallen. And so therefore, because the letter T had fallen, she now has come up with Jove's disease. Well, God's given some doctors some amazing abilities to try to cure diseases and everything. And they tried something on her. I tell you what, it's very fascinating. What they did, they gave the 7-year-old girl chemotherapy. She don't have cancer. They gave her chemotherapy to kill her immune system totally. And so what they did, they went into her mother. Her mom was a perfect bone marrow match. So they went to their mom. Her mom did a surgery on her hip, drilled out some bone marrow, and transferred it into her daughter's body to save her own daughter's life. I tell you what, that is pretty amazing. God knows every single thing that there is to know about us. I say all that for a reason. You cannot hide anything from our Lord. It's totally impossible. That letter T that they found was missing from her body, from her DNA that had fallen, God had already knew that, known that. God knew that from the day that he created her, that was going to take place. And so there's nothing that you and I can keep from God. We might sit there and we might go for a while in our life, well, I can hide it from my spouse, I can hide it from my children, I can even hide it from my pastor, and we might be successful in those things. But God already knows. At the end of the day, folks, when it comes down to it, we're going to answer to God. And we're going to be responsible for the things in our lives that we have allowed to overcome and overtake our life to where we don't have that relationship with Him. Folks are flirting with walking with the world. And I'm talking about church folks. It scares me to think of Bible-believing Christians who are no longer in church and they're flirting with the world. God will only put up with it for so long. And that I have no answer for when that's going to be. And how is it going to end? I don't know. I think of my wife's grandpa. I never met the guy. He got saved later on in life. He was at the age of 55, something like that, when he got saved. Her grandmother prayed for him for years to come to know the Lord as a Savior, and God eventually saved his soul. But there was a trade that he was in that he could not get out. He was a bookie, and he was a bar owner. That was his lifestyle. And that was a lifestyle that he could not give up, because that meant his whole entire income for his whole entire family. You know what God did in talking with my wife? We believe that God knew that he couldn't get out of that lifestyle. God took him home. See, God doesn't tolerate sin. And that was a sin that he was committing in his life, because he was still enabling people to come in, partake, and drink, and come in and get drunk and get on the road and do some things that can cause serious harm and damage. But God doesn't tolerate it, and it's only for a period of time where he's going to reveal his holy wrath, his holy anger upon your sin. To the believer, if this is you, I encourage you, come home. Come home. What do you mean by coming home? Seek God for forgiveness. Seek God for forgiveness. We have an altar that's behind you for a reason. And that's so we can come up here and kill the very sin that's keeping us from serving God. Well, Chad, I can take care of that in my seat. Yeah, I agree with you there, but how often do we do that? How often at the end of the sermon where pastor is giving his all and he's poured out his heart, soul, and mind into the message and he's urged people to come forward and get things right, and so often we ignore the call of God. Well, I can take care of my seat, but how often do we do those things? I'm urging God's people to come home, to seek his forgiveness, to reject the world, and to accept him once again. You might ask, but what about my friends? What about all my friends I have made? Let me say this. You are sending your friends to hell. for the lifestyle that you are living. They look at you and say, you're a joke, and I don't want to have any part with your so-called religion. See, the world's watching us. They're examining our lives. They're examining every single move that we make. And they say things to make it look enticing to us, and they try to lure us into situations. But I say this, you're sending your friends to hell. The influences of this world might have won some over here tonight. I don't know. Only you know those things. And this happens because we have left God. We have left God. His wrath will be revealed to the whole entire world. It will be on display. You know, I sit there and I listen to our President Trump here the last couple of weeks when it comes to this North Korean thing and with the nuclear things. And one of the things he says, you're going to see something like you've never seen in your life before. I guarantee it. Well, I can say the same thing about my God with his wrath. You have never seen anything like it. And you'll never want to experience it. Let's read the rest of this. Verse number 28 and 29, let me finish this. It says, and being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. As I read these last 3 to 4 verses, did this just describe you? Did this just describe the walk that you're having with the world and the walk that you're not having with God? Folks, I say this tonight for a reason. If God hates sin so much that he's going to reveal his wrath someday upon it, you and I ought to have the same outlook that he has on it as well. And that's just the way it should be. Again, I don't know your life. I don't know your lifestyles. I don't know your patterns and what you do, what you say, what you watch, what you listen to. I have no idea. Only you know those things. But if it is keeping you from having a relationship with God, that's something that needs to be taken care of. I can't make you. I can't force you. That is up to the Holy Spirit in you. And I urge you, stop playing church. Stop playing church. Get real and get serious with doing the business of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that you have given us. Lord, you have shown me in my own life what a horrible, despicable, wicked person I have been. Lord, I don't want to go down those roads anymore. Lord, I pray tonight you would guard my heart, you would guide my life, that you put an arm of protection about me tonight. Lord, I pray for anybody in here tonight that is experiencing these things, that is playing church, that is playing a believer, that's on the fence. Lord, I pray tonight that they would get things right with you. We ask it in your name. Amen.